It's time for Done Being Single with your hosts, Trevor and Robbie Scharf. If you're dating the same type over and over again, making the same mistakes and not finding love, then you're not done being single. What you need is some tough love dating intervention, Trevor and Robbie style. Whether you're new to dating or have been dating forever, we've got you covered. Now, here are your hosts, Trevor and Robbie Scharf.
Oh, that's
that applause is for me.
We like that.
No, yes. That's all for me for getting through surviving breakup hell.
Well, yeah, you're surviving breakup hell and you're surviving menopause treatment hell this week, aren't you?
You know what? One hell at a time, please. Okay, let's just...
No, look, this is something we both go through.
Yeah, okay, so if you don't watch out, guess what? You're going to have another breakup hell.
Oh.
Watch out.
Okay
so we're going to talk about which is called breakup hell. Everybody knows it. You've all been there, don't lie. Some of us more times than others. Some of us worse than others. And I think that this is a timely subject because we, for the first many weeks of our show, we've been talking about love, 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 how to find it, how to keep it. What happens when you lose it, though?
Yeah. What happens when you lose it?
Well,
if you don't use it, you lose it.
So you want to really know what happens when you lose it?
Okay.
It feels a lot like menopause. You sweat. You're in a shit mood.
Yeah.
You're a bitch. You cry. I don't know. And then there's all kinds of other things.
You've been losing it a lot lately, haven't you?
You know, it's your... But some people, it's worse than others. For me, my breakup hell was very private. It was really my private hell. Mm. Unlike menopause, which I'm making your hell.
It's a public hell. Yes.
So today we are going to bring on some specialists, some breakup specialists, because I think that everybody has their own coping mechanisms and methods for healing, and I think that a lot of people would like to know more and have better tools and better skills. I know I have a ton. I have a bag of them. And so we're going to bring on a couple guests that really know what they're talking about and can help if you're suffering.
Well, this should be very interesting because I've had a couple of breakups that were less than satisfying.
Are they ever satisfying?
Yes. I think the ones that you are in control of are more satisfying than the ones you are not in control of.
Well, what happened to you when you... Have you ever been broken up
with? I have been, yes. The one that sticks out was, you know, many years ago, and it was probably of my own doing, but when it happened, it kind of hit me like a ton of bricks, and I went out and played tennis with my father, and that was like my therapy at that moment, and he was trying to teach me something on a grip or something. I said, "Dad, please, no lessons today, just hit the ball to me, and hit it hard, because I'm going to hit it hard back to you." And he eventually got that.
And that was it?
Well, I just remember that being a moment of my dealing with it in that way. But, you know, there haven't been that many others that I remember that were really terrible for me.
Oh, my God, you're so lucky. Rejection. I mean, geez. No? Not even like a little... pity party? Did you take to your bed? Did you?
No.
Did
no,
you?
No.
Nothing?
No, I did. I did not.
Holy shit! Lucky.
Yeah. Well.
Okay. Well, then I've had enough for the both of us. And by the way, I don't want another one. No more breakup hell. That's it. Done.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I
will say that I do have. I know what it takes to get through it. I guess that's the sad part is that, you know, I know what it takes, and I've done it a million times, and I know how to heal my heart, and that's good, I guess. And the bottom line of it all is that, you know, it's better to have loved and lost than never loved at all. It is really true. It is really true, because I think with each breakup, you get better. You just do. You can't
practice
help
makes perfect.
It kind of does, you know. You can't. You get stronger. You get smarter. You gain more clarity. your heart gets bigger, you just get a little more discerning. It can't be bad, you know. So I'm I hate breakups, but they're sort of not, they're not bad for you, in within reason. Would you say that, Lovey? Well, yes. Who am I asking? The guy who's never had a tough breakup.
Guys, I think, are a little different. I think guys have a reaction to a breakup where it may just be the animal instinct in them to go out and get laid, find somebody quickly, and, you know, that's a Band-Aid solution. And I don't think that doesn't work, but, you know, it feels good for the moment. And I think women may do something similar in a rebound way, but that doesn't work either, probably.
Oh, it does not work. So, that is not one of my tips.
No, mine neither, but I think that it is true for, I think, men just kind of feel like, all right, well, there's others out there. I'll go find somebody else. And everybody handles it differently.
I've known some guys who were completely crushed. Crushed. Just.
I'm sure you crushed a few.
Probably. Oh, I should mention, everybody, okay? I think I got dumped as much as I dumped. So before you pull out your little violin and start feeling sorry for me, I did have my fair share of being on the other end of it, which also doesn't feel good either. It's like firing someone. It hurts, you know? You hate to see people in pain. You hate to hurt people. So, but again, necessary, it's necessary work if you want to be in the dating game.
Okay, so do you have any experiences you want to share in our couple minutes left before our first break that were especially painful or helpful in getting over this?
I would say the more breakups you have, like I said, it definitely strengthens you. You do get a thicker skin, and you do get a little more hip. Like I just got hip to it. I knew after the 2000th and 47th breakup, okay, here's what I'm doing wrong. Here's what I need to do better. Here's what is not my problem. And I would say to anybody listening that your first instinct is going to take everything personally, as I did. And a lot of the times, and in fact, most of the times, it's an opportunity for you to self-reflect. It's an opportunity for you to own your part, to look at what your behavior and actions were. But it's also a time for you to set boundaries in terms of not taking it on and taking on the blame. So I think that is important because a lot of people do tend to take things, rejection personally. And that's not a healthy response. Because I learned at the end of the day that if someone didn't want to be with me, then they're not my guy. So especially towards the end, right before I met you, especially with the last relationship right before you, Robbie, I really, when that one ended, I thought, okay, this is just, I am pretty fantastic, and if this person doesn't want to be with me, it's probably not my fault. So I had gotten to a point, a level of, I guess, self-worth had improved vastly over my single life to the point where I could then kind of, when faced with a breakup or faced with a disappointment, not take it so personally, not let it devastate me, because I knew that at this point, by my late 40s, I had sort of perfected, I'm not saying perfect, but I had perfected, I don't like that word, no. I mean, I got to a place where I felt good enough about myself that I knew that it wasn't me. Does that make sense?
Okay. And then when did you realize it was you?
When it was my part in it was probably having to, my expectations were not not good. Not good. They were unreasonable expectations. So I think most of the time it had to do if and when things were breaking up, it had to do with me not being ready or the guy not being ready for something more serious. I don't think there was any giant gaping problems or flaws about me or the person. I just think it was, you know, a typical situation where, no, not ready. I'm not ready for this. Or he wasn't ready. Which can happen, you know. It's when you get together with someone, it is seriously, as I'm finding out, the planets have to align.
Okay, so today is going to prepare us for how we can deal with a breakup. Yes. And or how we can better deal with being together so breakups don't happen. But yes. I guess Surviving Breakup Hell is the name of the show, so we are going to go over some tips, and we have some guests that we'll be bringing on after the first break.
All right, very good, very good. I think that's a whole other show, Preventing Breakup Hell. That's definitely something we should address.
Okay.
So, but for today's purposes, we're gonna break it down. We're gonna break down the breakups.
I wish I had a little bit more offer. I'm trying to feel as though I hope I was not the cause of some breakup hell for women in my past, because there were probably times when, you know, I was involved with somebody, and for me it's always been, I would never know there was an issue until the issue arised. And then when it was there, I realized, okay, is this a deal breaker? Is this something I need to get out of? What am I doing here? And if it was, then I would make a plan to get out of that. And at that point, it might have caused some, you know, a hurt in others.
I am sure you've broken your share of hearts.
Oh, gee.
In your life.
I probably have, but...
But you're a nice guy, and I'm sure you did it nicely as you could do it.
I don't think there's I don't know if there is a way to do it nicely.
Yes, there is.
Probably is.
What do you think
know.
The song, Killing Me Softly, oh no, that's the wrong, You Killed Them Softly.
My song.
But you killed them softly.
It's possible. Okay.
Is there ever a good way to do it? No.
Well, you know, this is, we've encountered people that get broken up with via text and other things in today's technology. So to me, that's not a good way. I mean, or on the phone, these things, that doesn't really make somebody feel better.
No, it doesn't. But you have
cowardly.
To. Oh, no, there's definitely, it's never easy, but there are better ways than others to drop the bomb, to lower the boom. It takes balls to break up with someone in a nice way. You can't, mm-hmm. I have perfected it.
Okay.
It's become an art form, both on the receiving, the administering and the receiving end of it.
Yeah.
But like I said, I'm out of the breakup business.
Yes. So am I.
Okay. High five.
Oh yeah. Good job. Okay. Yeah, we.
Okay, check back in a few years, people. Remember this episode?
Or a few weeks.
Or a few weeks.
So we are going to a break now, and then we are going to come on with our who's our first guest today?
Dr. Fran Walfish.
Okay, so we'll be right back after a few messages with Dr. Fran Walfish.
Think you've seen everything there is to see in online television? Let us surprise you. Visit voiceamerica.tv today for sports, health, business, and more on demand 24/7.
Tune in to the Voice America Variety Channel on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Voice America Variety broadcasts a diverse array of topics, reaching a global community. Our experts come from all walks of life, and the topics they discuss are everything from current events, arts and entertainment, leadership, parenting, relationships, self-improvement, career advice, and a variety of other topics. Check us out today. You're sure to find something of interest. Voice America Variety. Talk on today's hot topics.
What sets apart VoiceAmerica.tv from the other video content providers on the internet? Choice and flexibility means that you can host your video content live or on demand on the main VoiceAmerica.tv channels through your own branded media player or your own private TV channel. We support multiple media formats, so all of your video content can be in one place. We offer a number of advertising and video packages. For more information, visit VoiceAmerica.tv. If you think you've seen online TV like this before, let us surprise you.
Follow the Voice America Talk Radio Network on Twitter. We're at Voice America TRN. You'll get the latest fix on what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and general happenings that you should know about at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Now you don't have to miss anything when you're away from your home or office. Just go to twitter.com/Voice America TRN or follow along with us at Voice America TRN, the Voice America Talk Radio Network. We're on the cutting edge of social media. Can you keep up?
You're listening to Done Being Single with dating interventionists, Treva and Robbie Sharp. If you've got a question, a dilemma, or dating nightmare you want to share, call us today at 888-346-9141. That's 888-346-9141. You can also reach us by email, Treva and Robbie at DunBeingSingle.com. Now, back to Done Being Single with dating badasses, Treva and Robbie Sharp.
Okay, we're back, and we're going to bring on the heavy hitter of breakups and love and relationships, Dr. Fran Walfish. Dr. Fran is a leading child, couples, family, relationship, and sex psychotherapist and author in Beverly Hills, California. In addition to her full practice, private practice, she was on clinical staff in the department. I'm so excited to have her on. I can't even.
I guess.
She was on the clinical staff in the Department of Psychiatry at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center for 15 years and is a regular on-camera expert contributor to pretty much every major network, newspaper, magazine, and website you've ever heard of. Too many to list, but trust me, she is big time. Wow. Dr. Fran Walfish, welcome!
Thank you so much, Treva and Robbie. I'm delighted to be with you.
Great to have you.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
As you've probably heard in our first segment, we have varying degrees of breakup experience.
I heard you, and I bring my own share and of breakup experience and hell. And I think, each one of you have really lovely varying and different experiences. I have yet another different kind of experience, and I think, the question can be asked, why does each individual have a different experience with a breakup, and what are the common threads? Where are the common denominators? Well, first, let me take the quick, why are we different? I think the answer lies in temperament. I'll take myself as an example. I am an exquisitely sensitive person. I give my heart discriminately and very rarely, but when I give it, it's fully and completely. So I'm vulnerable in a relationship, meaning I can really, really get hurt. And when there's a breakup, it's pretty bad. 911. And that's not true of every person. Some people, are not as deeply involved in a relationship as I get. So the price they pay when it ends is not as great. The other reason that people vary in their experience of breakup hell depends on their relationships with their first primary givers, usually mother and father. How deeply were we attached with that parent? Was it a secure attachment, or, for instance, did the mom give inconsistent responses to you as an infant, meaning did she sometimes look away? Did she sometimes guess inaccurately when you cried and shove a bottle in your mouth instead of holding you with comfort? So when we are in pain, crying in pain, the metaphor is during a breakup we cry in pain, how accurately our needs are met is going to tell how we deal with the pain of loss or a breakup. And then the question is, where are the common denominators? What are the issues or bullet points where all humans living, breathing with blood, muscle, and guts all have in common when they experience the loss of a meaningful relationship? Well, guess what? Everyone feels disappointed. Everyone feels a mixture of sadness and anger, and that's how I define disappointment. And I find it interesting, Robbie, that you described what I would say is a very healthy reaction when you got over or were dealing with the loss of a relationship. You went out and hit tennis balls, I think you said, with your father.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very healthy way to expel angry and aggressive impulses. And everybody has normal angry and aggressive impulses, and they get activated when we're hurt.
That's heavy stuff. And I think that I was fortunate probably to have that outlet of hitting tennis balls, and somebody that may not have that outlet may manifest itself in some other form of expression, which could be
negative. I
hit my pillow. Dangerous.
You know what? Let me say, hitting your pillow is another healthy, a way to expel healthy aggression. But I think where you were going, Robbie, is where are the unhealthy ways?
Yes.
Well, one way is some people overeat. Some people turn to other substances like drugs, alcohol, sex. You were talking about quickly jumping in to another relationship before dealing with the mourning and grieving process. A lot of people do that, and they stay emotionally stuck in history. They can't figure out why they continue to choose the same person in a different costume, the same kind of personality that looks different on the outside, but is a repetition of bad old patterns.
Dr. Fran, I want to ask,
said something that I thought was extremely wise and the voice of experience. It's really helpful to develop a thick skin, and it adds to a person's self-worth. And the only way to do that, unfortunately, is to go through the fire and experience the disappointment one after the next. The more you go through a relationship one after the next and learn what is your best fit in a person, the tighter your muscle development is in dealing with those letdowns, those disappointments, those hurts, sadnesses, anger, and frustration tolerance.
Okay, I
just had one comment about what she was saying about, on a rebound situation. You mentioned going after a similar person. I think after having been broken up with, I think it's probably not uncommon to just want to get some type of ego gratification and be with someone that can feed your ego so you feel as if that part may not have been the reason as to why you're no longer a couple with that last person. But I think that it's empty in the long run. That's not very fulfilling.
That is true, and the need that you described and the reason for it is true. It happens to be more true for males than females, although it is true for many females as well. But it's, like you said, a way of not dealing directly with the pain. Just the same way gambling, food, drugs, alcohol are a way of not dealing directly with the unpleasant feelings and masking, comforting oneself temporarily with a substance.
Do I have time for a deep probing question? Okay.
Yes.
So back up a little bit, Dr. Fran, because I'm really fascinated with family of origin. And no one's family is perfect, although sounding like Robbie's was.
No.
So so let's say you don't, say your family's a little on the dysfunctional side, and you grew up with whatever programming and role models that you were given, and they weren't great. And so as a result, somehow you've been seeking and perpetuating familiar things and dynamics, and that's why your breakups are so hard. What do you tell your patients, your clients, who come to you with a whole bag of family dysfunction? And how do you say, you can get over this? You don't have to be a legacy.
In 2 minutes or less.
That is such a really, really excellent question. So, number one, the first important ingredient is to raise the individual's self-awareness. And the best way to do that is ideally in therapy. And the reason is because when you hear yourself articulate your thoughts and feelings introspectively out loud to another person, not just thinking it, but out loud to another person, it raises it and brings it forth to your consciousness. That means your awareness. Once you say it out loud, it becomes real. It's no longer looming in the background of your mind, so it's a reality. And you're forced to have the option to face it or deny it by choice. And as an adult, you have the choice or option to revisit and reevaluate those childhood relationships and experiences from a more mature perspective. And you can now become the good mother and good father you maybe didn't have to yourself, and say to yourself, for example, you were an innocent child who didn't deserve mishandling. You deserve to be treated better. Next time around, I'm going to pick a guy who maybe isn't as good looking or doesn't have as well stocked a bank account or fancy car, but I'm going to pick a guy who really treats me respectfully and with kindness the way I deserve.
Okay, well, we have a break coming up right now. Thank you for that, Dr. Fran.
That's so true. I'm going to say one word, or rather two: self-soothing. It's really an important skill to develop if you haven't already.
And with that said, we are going to our second break, and we will be back with Dr. Fran and another guest.
All right, let's do it. See you on the other side.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Hi, I'm Sam Nussbaum, WellPoint's Chief Medical Officer. We proudly support the March of Dimes mission to improve the health of babies and fight premature birth. We're helping the March of Dimes fund breakthroughs in research and community programs that help more moms have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Join us in working together to provide children with a healthier start in life. Visit marchofdimes.org.
Have you had a chance to check out Voice America's online magazine and blog, Press Pass? If you love our hosts and shows, check out articles that give an even deeper perspective. Plus topics about health and fitness, movie reviews, philosophy, business tips and tactics, spirituality, positive thought, current events, and even more about your favorite host. It's just a click away at vapresspass.com. That's vapresspass.com. VA Press Pass by Voice America. All access, all the time.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit facebook.com/Voice America.
You're listening to Done Being Single with dating interventionists Treva and Robbie Sharp. If you've got a question, a dilemma, or a dating nightmare you want to share, call us today at 888-346-9141. That's 888-346-9141. You can also reach us by email, Treva and Robbie at DoneBeingSingle.com. And now, back to Done Being Single with dating badasses Treva and Robbie Sharp.
All right, so I need to segue off the last question I asked and sort of parlay from self-soothing to what we need to take care of ourselves and what's within the realm of reasonable healing time and the things that we do to make ourselves feel better. And Robbie was urging me to be a little bit more forthcoming with my post-breakup regimen, which included, and I said as much in my blog post this week. I smoked a lot of pot. I drank a lot of wine. I had the occasional, Ativan. I curled up into a fetal position first, cried my eyes out. So I cried my eyes out, curled up into a fetal position, took to my bed. And then when I was feeling a little better, then I started drinking. Smoking copious.
Are these your tips? Or your
this is the way I got over it. And so, but at a certain point, you stop because you start to feel, okay, I can deal with this. So at that point, you kind of get a hold of your senses. It's the people that continue to numb the pain, can't stop. And what do you say to those people that come to you and say, I can't stop doing X, Y, and Z, Dr. Fran. I'm in such pain. I have a hole in my heart. I want to die. This is the only thing making me feel better. What do you say to them?
Well, number one, let me say to you, there is no clear prescription or pathway to follow for grieving and mourning. And the length of time that it takes each person to get over a death or the loss of a relationship is different for each person. So there's no specific number or time frame that anyone can follow, and that's hard for people. That's point number one. Number two, in your first segment, I talked about the disappointment, sadness, and anger. But what I didn't talk about, and you are alluding to it, is the loneliness and isolation. It's difficult, particularly if you are the dumpy. If you are the dumper, it's a heck of a lot easier to move forward. Usually those people have already been dealing with the end for a long time. But if you're the one getting dumped, oftentimes it comes as a surprise curveball. So there's a lot of loneliness and feeling of self-doubt and questioning, what did I do wrong? Where did I fail? And oftentimes people ruminate, which means they get stuck like the old record player, the needle in the groove, da-da-da-da-da-da, going over the same, what did I do wrong, and anxiety and depression and even physical symptoms like heart palpitations, sweating, chest pains, even pressure in their chest can evolve. So the kind of things I tell people are, number one, you got to give yourself a break and allow yourself to be a human being. If you need to go through some isolation because it's too painful to get out, okay, take a period of time, set an end goal, whether it's 4 weeks, 6 weeks, even 7 weeks, I'm going to, after work, go home and just hang out, eat pizza and watch videos, DVDs, I aged myself, and just be by myself, because that's what you need to do, okay. As long as you're functioning in your work, you're showing up to your job, you're not in bed and comatose.
Right,
if that's
right.
the case, then you do need a referral to a psychiatrist and have a medication evaluation to make sure you're functioning in your life and your world. Then come your, let's say, end of 4-5 weeks where you've isolated enough, the best thing to do to kickstart you out of that depressed, lonely place is start connecting with people, whether it's over the phone and making plans to have coffee or a drink after work, lunch or dinner on the weekends, go do volunteer work and do something that's generous of self, go walk dogs or foster a lonely child,
yes.
do anything that's giving of yourself, because that takes you out of that wallowing
totally
in poor me and focusing on someone else's need.
It takes you out
really
of your head.
Helpful.
Definitely takes you out of your head.
The other thing is, you know, there's an old saying, there are other fish in the sea, and I have to say, it's so true. The best way to get over an old love is, once you've dealt with the grieving process, to move forward and start getting out there and look for new relationships, because that's the way to feel feminine or masculine again, the way to feel desired, lusted after again, to feel like a sexual object with a capital O, or a sexual being, to feel attractive and wanted and good about yourself. So, and use humor, you know, there's nothing better than a great laugh. You can laugh at yourself, or, you know, maybe you had inappropriate expectations. High expectations are the very thing that lead to deep disappointments.
That's what I said up front. Probably the reason for most of my breakups were just not the same expectations, or unreasonable, or goals. We did not share the same goals. And I want to bring on divorce attorney Michelle Affont, because we need to take it up a notch in terms of breakups. And that, to me, divorce is like the next level pain of breakups. So Michelle is a divorce attorney. She's been one for over 20 years. She's witnessed firsthand why more than 50% of marriages fail in the United States. After her own 25-year marriage ended, she took her vast experience in the world of breakups and heartbreak and became a love advocate. I love that. This led her to writing The Dang Factor, the quintessential guide to finding passion and changing the way you love. Michelle, welcome to Done Being Single.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Hey, pleasure. Michelle.
Okay, so you've been listening to the conversation, I'm assuming, and this is all stuff you know and you've heard a million times. When it comes to divorce, which is, that is like a killer. I can't imagine. Robbie and I hopefully will never be, and we never have been. But how do you advise people to taking it, that pain and suffering, to the next level, and how do you advise them to mitigate it?
Well, you know, I mean, once you reach the point of divorce, I mean, we all have to step back and say, you know, it's called a breakup because something was broken. And that really is the bottom line. If you're reaching the point of divorce, something was broken in the marriage. And sometimes we have to step back and step outside and look in the bubble and see exactly what that was. For me, from my point of view, I think it is imperative that not only my clients, but both men and women, you know, we cannot let our past define our future. And I think that's certainly a big part of why I wrote The Dang Factor. Just seeing my sisters, I wrote this book for women because I've seen my sisters give away literally years of their lives following a divorce or a breakup. And I found that they were just literally paralyzed, you know, as much as 10, 15, 20 years following the breakup. And I'm trying to guide them to not let that loss of love paralyze them. And really to take your breakup or divorce. And it's all in the attitude. You know, if we can change the way we break up, we change the way we divorce, and we change the way we move forward by changing our attitude, you know, that's the plan. And if we can step back and look at this divorce as truly a do-over in life, which is something we rarely get an opportunity to do, we can change some things about the prior relationship or the prior marriage. I think it's, you know, I like to call it, it's productive pain. And if we can take this pain and turn it into productive pain, meaning this pain is an opportunity to rebirth yourself and start over, then your future is going to look pretty bright. You know, Robbie's idea of the tennis story was spot on. You know, he took the pain and he disassembled and rearranged the way he did things. Even though it's just a small thing such as playing tennis, it redirected his focus, and he changed something about himself. And that is absolutely crucial to do that. My own breakup, and I've certainly had my fair share, I learned to surf. And became involved in fitness. And you can physically and mentally and spiritually really feel yourself evolving into this new person. And that is extremely helpful, you know, getting through the divorce and moving on. And that's really is the key, is how are we going to move on? You know, I tell women everywhere, I said, look, you know, we have to change our attitudes. You got divorced. Okay, now you're starting over. You know, let's think of your life as this giant blank white canvas. And you, my dear, get to paint your future. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Because honestly, we don't have the luxury of giving away years and years and years of our lives to our ex, you know, thinking about him, dwelling on it, analyzing every aspect of what went wrong. Most likely, your ex has moved on, which is typically the scenario. And we need to adjust our attitudes so that we, too, can move on.
What happens in second marriages, if you're that lucky? How do you stop yourself from repeating patterns?
Well, I think by the time you get to your second marriage, I think you can pretty much tell what was broken in your first marriage. I mean, a lot of people get married, let's face it, for the wrong reasons. And so you are going to have, we do have a 50% divorce rate. But, you know, they married young, they grew apart, they didn't have common interests, they didn't share the same life goals and visions. And it's okay. You know, I mean, breakups are okay. And I think, you know, for me, actually, you know, breakups are an exciting time in one's life. And I know that sounds silly, but it really is. I mean, devoted couples do not break up. It is that simple. And if there is a breakup, if there is a divorce, one or both of the parties in that relationship were not devoted to the other. And that is not the kind of relationship I want you in. I mean, love has to be reciprocal. And if it's not, something's broken. So,
Go ahead.
Okay,
I have a question to both you guys, ladies, about taking your ex back and what needs to happen before you do that. So, Dr. Fran, what's your feeling on that?
Dr. Fran here. I think what needs to happen is, number one, accountability on both sides. So, Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin came up with this term called conscious uncoupling. And it's the definition is pretty much verbalizing what your part in owning up to what went wrong in the relationship was. And that's an old concept. They just gave it a new label. But it's a very important concept. So I think it's the primary ingredient where each partner has to really be self-aware, accountable, and take responsibility for what they've done, verbalize genuine apology, genuine regret with empathy to the other person for the hurts, breaches, and any pains they have caused with their actions, words, behaviors to the other person, and a solemn promise to really work on the relationship and do their best to never repeat those breaches or hurts, whether it's infidelity by cheating with another person, whether it was breaching their partner by overspending money in secret, whatever the issue is, what needs to happen is healthy, open communication, because talking is the glue that holds people together.
Yeah. Michelle?
Yeah, I think, you know, I agree with that completely. I think that many people divorce too quickly in our society. I think a lot of marriages can be saved with, as Dr. Fran says, proper communication. I think that's key, of course. Once you do decide to try to work things out, you know, it's imperative that you give your partner the chance to prove themselves. You know, if there was a cheat, for instance, and they are extremely remorseful and they're apologetic and they, you know, just feel horrible about it and whatever the circumstance was, I mean, and you both want the marriage to succeed or the relationship to succeed, then it is imperative you give your partner that chance to show you. You know, actions speak louder than words, as the old saying goes, and you need to give them the opportunity to let that happen.
Okay.
I have a question, and I'm going to approach this from a different angle. Can you give our listeners breakup tips? What is the right way to break up with somebody? So you do it in a respectful manner that the other person is not going to all of a sudden go bonkers on you. I mean, who can presume what may happen, but I'm just saying that is there something that maybe we all could take away from learning about how is the best way to approach a breakup if we are the dumper?
I have one concrete suggestion. It's Dr. Fran here, and that is that the person who's doing the breakup should be sensitive, delicate, and straightforward. I cannot tell you how many people I have heard of that just disappear. They don't say we're done.
Mm-hmm.
They avoid the inevitable because they cannot bear facing their beloved's rage. You know how you said you don't want your person to go bonkers on you. Well, number one, if you were with a crazy person, you've got a problem. But most people are going to be hurt, which leads to anger, which leads to rage. That's true of toddlers also. And the worst comes out in a person when they're rejected. So whoever the dumper is, you need to bolster yourself and get ready to tolerate being the target of your person's anger. And I think it's much better to be honest, straightforward, like you said. Don't do it in a text or a phone call. Do it face to face. And you can highlight the good that was there and just say gentle phrases like, but it's not feeling right to me. I'm not prepared to proceed forward. Those are gentle phrases that don't say you messed up, it's your fault. They're just, it isn't the right fit, and I don't feel right about continuing and moving to the next level.
Good advice. Okay, so Michelle, same question, just a little different. What in your experience, what is the worst mistake women make when initiating initiating divorce?
Well, you know, I mean, like I said, once they get to the stage of divorce, they've pretty much, most couples have pretty much been through the ringer. I mean, that's a pretty drastic step to divorce. And they have, you know, they pretty much have tried everything. I mean, I guess the thing I see most years later after a woman has come to me and divorced her husband was not giving it a chance. Really sitting down and giving it a chance. I mean, I'll use cheating as an example because that is obviously a common reason for divorce. And instinctively, we tend to say, you know, he cheated on me, I'm done, it's over. And they run and get an attorney. And oftentimes, you know, that's moving a little quickly. I mean, sometimes you just need to, I think that is a common mistake that women make. It's like, look, how do you feel about him? And I have several questions in the book that I ask women to ask themselves before they, you know, move so quickly. You know, it's like, how do you feel about him? I know at this moment, you can't stand him, but other, you know, let's look forward here. How do you feel about him? And do you still want to be touched by him? How does, you know, what is your dang level with him? And, you know, I mean, the common consensus has been, you know what? I moved too quickly. I should have worked through that cheating factor. And, you know, I find that a lot of women tend to listen to other people. You know, in situations like that, their friend, their girlfriends, their parents, their, you know, whoever they tell about this cheating event, you got to leave him. He's no good. You got to divorce him. And they do. And I find that many women end up regretting that later on. Actually,
okay.
I find that a lot.
Yeah. This conversation could go on, and I wish it would, because there's so much to unload and unpack and so much good stuff. And you two have been fantastic, Dr. Fran and Michelle. Where can people find where can people find you? Let's start there. Dr. Fran?
I am on Twitter at Fran Wallfish, and my website is drfranwallfish.com. It's spelled drfranwallfish.com.
Okay, Michelle?
And my website is the Dang Factor, dangfactor.com. And I am on Instagram at Michelle Affont, AFONT.
Okay, very good. We are going to
excellent.
Yeah. I'm going to say ta-ta for now until next week. And I made a little mistake last week. I thought I confused the episodes. Next week's episode, not today.
We got so much email about that too. It's just terrible.
Called TMI, How Much Honesty is Too Much.
Oh boy.
So make sure you tune in for that. And I just want to thank Dr. Fran and Michelle Lafont. You two are awesome. Thank you so much. You had so much to offer and contribute.
My pleasure.
I wish we had more time. Okay.
Our pleasure.
We are done being single. Hopefully everybody else is too. And thank you so much for joining us and staying with us. And let's keep going because this is great. This is all really good stuff. And thank you.
Thank you, honey.
Thank you, baby.
Love you, baby.
I love you so much.
Love you too, honey.
Mwah.
Thanks for listening this week to Done Being Single. Join Trevor and Robbie Sharp every Saturday at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. See you next week on Done Being Single.